I truly covet your prayers this morning. Thankful I'm doing a lot better than I have been. Glad to be in service one more time. excuse me. I've been considering talking about something today that has been talked about and talked about and talked about, but I never get weary of it. If I asked you what was the greatest positive force in the world, what would you say? Love. That's what I want to talk about. Love. I was thinking about many different things. Many years ago when my children were younger, we took a trip out west. We went out in a truck camper, camped along the way, and they had a little dog, little miniature schnauzer, and named Pepper. And I remember the time when we had come down out of the western side of the, what's the big park out there where Old Faithful is? Yellowstone Park. And we dropped down into northern Utah, I believe it was. And we camped, spent the night at the base of the Grand Teton Mountains. They are so majestic and so beautiful. I was very impressed with them. And anyway, we spent the night with our four children and their dog. Won't call it my dog, but their dog. And so the next morning we all got busy and fixed breakfast, ate breakfast and all that, and got everything together, and away we went. I drove about 50 miles down the highway, and one of the children popped their head through the window and said, is Pepper up there with you? Wife and I looked at each other and, no, we don't have the dog up here. Thought the dog was with you. Well, Pepper's not in here. 50 miles up the highway. I said, are you sure the dog is not in there, back there? And they said, yeah, he's not here. She's not here. So I looked at my wife and I said, you know, me and the dog, I wasn't so fond of it anyway. I said, you know, 50 miles back, that's a long trip. I said, I'm tempted to just keep right on trucking. We were headed to California. And, of course, my wife sided with my daughters. My daughters started crying. So I turned the truck around, drove 50 miles back. And don't you know that when we got to the campground, that little dog was sitting right at the very campsite waiting on us that we had left. All right, I drove 50 miles one way. I drove 50 miles back. I had to drive another 50 miles to get back where I was when all this thing was discovered. Children didn't care anything about the 150 miles, but you know how it is with dads, the ones that are responsible for the trip. I say all that to say this, that if you look around us today, there's something that is greatly missing, and it's called love. Let's look at a scripture found in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. It's familiar to us, but let's read it again. Paul said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This little reading here resonates of a time when love is not abounding in the hearts of men and women. These things wouldn't be prevalent today, and yet they are, because of a lack of love that it's in the hearts of men and women today. There is a lot of anger, in our world. We see it resonating all around our country. We see hatred promoted in so many different venues and avenues and so many different ways. And folks, if we truly had love in our hearts, and I'm talking about God's love. I've said it before, we don't really know how to love until God has put His love in our hearts. And when we have God's love, then we know how to manifest that. Because when He puts His love in our hearts, He puts His character. He puts who He is in our hearts. And we're able to manifest that in the life that we live. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Folks, that should indicate to you and I, as those that are following Christ, that we need to confirm the power of godliness in our world today. Because there's such a lack of it. There's a lack of peace. There's a lack of joy. There's a lack of satisfaction. Brother was reading the scripture in Sunday school about being grounded and settled. People are unsettled today. People are just plain unhappy today. And folks, love, true love from God would really change all of that, wouldn't it? It'd really make a difference. Now, my children love that little dog a lot more than I did. But because I loved my children, and because my wife was sitting there on their side, I turned around and went back and got the dog. Folks, there needs to be something within every one of us that causes us to act out in a way that we will promote God in a godless society today. We need something in us. I know it's a simple little thought this morning about love, but you and I need to have a priority of where our love is. What we are loving on. Sometimes we'll say things like, most people know Brother Larry likes ice cream. Sometimes I've been guilty of saying I love ice cream. I don't love ice cream. Love is a much greater and more important and stronger word than putting it on ice cream, folks. Love is something that we have in our hearts for our fellow man, for mankind. Love causes us to act out and do the things that we do. It is an action word. Love is so important to us today. You and I, should confirm the power of godliness, not just having a form. That's why all these things exist today, because of a lack of love. That's why such godliness exists today, because of a lack of love. Jesus made the statement over there in His writing. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Folks, sin is abounding today, and it's taken a great toll on the love that used to be in this world, taking a great toll on the love that people used to have in its heart. And because sin is abounding today, it's causing hatred, it's causing anger, it's causing strife, and therefore it's causing a great distress and trouble in our land today and in our world, all because of a lack of love. A lack of love. Do you know the power of God is wrought in love? All the gifts that God has given for mankind are products of His love. Everything that He has given us, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love is giving, isn't it? People are not giving today. People are not humble today. People are not willing today to support one another. But it's all about me, and it's all about what I want and what I want to do. It's all about what my needs are. You're just going to have to do the best you can to get by. Lord, help us today. You and I'm talking to the church today. I'm talking to the saints this morning. You and I need to have a love that is manifested from God through our hearts and out of our lives as we go out and we deal with our fellow man. And as we live in this world, there's people out there that are hurting, people in sorrow, people in trouble, and they need to be able to see someone that has some love in their hearts, some compassion and some mercy for others, and not just be all about themselves. Oh, I think of that so many times. Over there in Matthew where it says Jesus looked out on all the people and saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And He had compassion on them all. Folks, you and I, we ought to be the ones with compassion. We ought to be the ones with mercy. Heard the request about a child that was buried alive. Folks, people, family. Familial love, the family love, that's pretty much gone today. Family turning one against another. Family turning against little children, little babies, doing those kind of things. Why would they do that? Because they don't have love down in their heart. Simple as that. Because sin is abounding. And the love of many are waxing cold today. Love is giving, folks. And if Jesus is truly the object of our love, the Bible says we will walk in that love. Walk in it. Live in it. Let's read that verse of Scripture. It's found in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us. Folks, if we make the claim that we belong to Christ, if we make the claim of salvation in our life, we've got to manifest the very one that came and took up residence in our hearts. We've got to manifest ourselves in the way that He manifests Himself to you and I. Walk in love as Christ loved us and given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Walk in love, all with the hatred that is in the world today. We are duty bound, folks. It is our duty to portray a loving and a godly example in the world that we live in today. You know, I've said so many times, you probably have too. We can read the Sermon on the Mount in just a little short time, but it'll take all of our lives to live it. Jesus teaches us there how to walk in love, to how to have love, to how to treat our enemies, to how to treat our fellow man. Paul's telling us here, walk in love as Christ loved us. Oh, I got a little something to say about that a little farther on. But I think about what comes to my mind. I was meditating this morning and I thought about a little widow woman whenever they was in the temple there and people was taking in and putting in all of their substance, and a little widow woman went up there and she put in her two mites. But folks, we need to learn the value, the way Christ puts value on things. It isn't that she was able to give what all these rich Pharisees was able to give, but she gave all she had. She gave all she had. She sacrificed because of her love for God. She gave Him everything she had. Lord, help us today that we'll give God everything we've got, that we'll give it all to Him. Wasn't it the rich man that came and wanted to know how to inherit eternal life? God told him, asked him what the commandments, and he said he kept all those from his youth up, and he said, go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. It doesn't mean that he wants you and I to give everything away and to become penniless and homeless. It means that you and I are to act out and portray and be the example of what a true Christian really is, what it truly means to live a holy life in this present world that we live in today. Folks, it seems like it's just getting worse and worse. And the scripture says that it would wax worse and worse. But as I read those things, we could have stopped and took each one of those things individually that Paul said over there. But every one of them, people are that way today because of one simple thing. Because they lack the love of God in their hearts. It takes the love of God. When you have the love of God, you can be a Stephen. Whenever they're stoning you, whenever they're taking your life, and he can look up and see God standing, Jesus standing there on by the throne, and he can say, Father, lay not this sin to their charge, folks. That's a divine love, and we need that divine love today. In order to be able to overcome all the onslaught of the enemy, the spirits and the doubts and the fears and the wickedness and the evil and the sin that's in our world today, we need a divine love that we can say, Lord, have mercy on those souls that are persecuting me. Have mercy on them, Lord, because they don't see you like I see you. They don't feel that love in their hearts like I feel in my heart. We need someone to stand up, don't we? The Lord needs someone to stand up, and He wants us to be faithful. Now, I want to make a statement here. Love goes beyond the mind and the emotions and straight to the heart. It goes beyond your emotions. You know, I've seen a lot of emotional people, and I know how that whenever they hear things that are sad and sorrowful and how that affects them. But folks, love even goes beyond the mind and the emotions and goes straight to the heart. And when it hits the heart, that in turn will manifest itself into feelings and emotions. Once the love hits the heart, folks, then it will be manifested in feelings and emotions. But we've got to have the love. It starts with the love. It starts with the love of God that He has shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the scripture says. We need to understand this morning, and our own human propensities. We all have them. We all have a propensity to go out and do what we want to do. We have our choice. We have what they call today our rights. And we have our human propensities. We need to learn why it's so important that we imitate Christ daily by walking in His love. By walking in His love. Do you know in everything that we do, whether you're working on a job, whether you're going shopping, whether you're taking care of your children, whether you're interacting with one another, husband and wife, whatever we do, there ought to be love involved. There ought to be a deep-seated love which gives us a purpose, a divine purpose, because it comes from God. Stephen didn't die with hatred in his heart. He didn't die crying out saying, God, destroy them because they're destroying me. He said, don't lay this sin to their charge. In everything that we do, it ought to be motivated by love. See, sometimes, as was already mentioned even this morning, Peter says something about stirring up your pure minds. You've heard these things. You know these things. But when you walk out of here today and you go about your life tomorrow, I want you to think, I need to be more loving. I need to be more kind. I need to treat my husband a little different. I need to be not so quick about flying off the handle. I need to watch my attitudes. I need to watch myself. If I'm going to say I'm like Christ, I need to manifest myself that way. Say, Brother Larry, you're being a little tough, folks. That's what it means to be like Christ, isn't it? That we manifest ourselves. Have a heart full of love. You know, sometimes I wonder how people pray. I know we pray for our ailments. I know we pray for our personal burdens and our problem, family problems and things like this. We all do, and we should. But folks, really, we need to have some time to pray and ask God for the graces within us that we might be able to manifest Him in a greater way. Lord, help me. Give me more love. Give me more compassion. Give me more kindness. Give me more gentleness. Ask the Lord for these things. He said, ask, and ye shall receive, didn't He? You know, some people are more gentle than others. Just comes normal and natural to them. It fits their personality. Other people don't. And some things that I've got to ask for, maybe you don't got to ask for it. But I got to ask for it because I want to manifest the life of Christ in my life. I want to be the example. And I know we all do. Because we have these human propensities to do wrong. We have these human propensities to lash out. We have these human propensities, like Peter, to speak before we think. To do, to act before we think sometimes. Lord, help us to be as careful as we can be. We don't want to use things for an excuse. Well, that's just the way I am. No, the Lord can help us. And you can find out that tomorrow you can be more loving and more kind, and you can say, well, that's the way I am now. That's the way I am. That's the way that I want to be, and I know we all do. Imitating Christ. Walk in love. Be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. That's good counsel, isn't it? It's important that you and I walk in love. Walking before God, it means how we live before God. How we live before one another. Paul says in one place, I think it's 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, maybe verse 8 or 9. He said, therefore we labor that we might be accepted of Him. Some people get saved, start out living for the Lord and seem not to realize, folks, it takes work. It takes effort on our part. Why do we want to labor? Because we love God. Because He loved us. Because He cares about us. You know, there's a new saying, been out for a while now. It's called life happens. Life happens to every one of us, doesn't it? Sometimes when circumstances are presented, we find ourselves reacting in ways that presents a bad attitude to those that are around us. And I'll tell you what, those tubes won't help us any more than it helped Martha when she was complaining about Mary not helping her fix the food or out in the kitchen. We need to be sure that instead of having a bad attitude, that we present a godly manner in everything that touches our life. You know the old saying, it's easier said than done? I understand that. But folks, I'm convinced as we get closer and closer, I talked to a minister the other day, called me, I'm convinced we're getting closer, that eternity is drawing near. Peter said, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of person are you? I'm asking God to help me to be more sober-minded. I want to be more sober-minded. And I want to be diligent in growing in the grace of God. I want to grow in the grace of God. I want to be that vessel that others can look upon and have confidence in, because they watch my life. Because they know me, they know who I am, they know what I'm about. And they know there's a man that loves souls. There's a man that wants to be careful about how he treats his fellow man. Oh, I'm still going to mess up, folks. Don't expect perfection there, but I'm working on it. I want to treat each and every one of my fellow man in a way that they know that I care. I don't want to wait until someone gets in a casket and say, I wish they knew how much I really loved them. I wish they knew how much I really cared. I think it's time. I don't see anything wrong with you and I throwing a few flowers here and there to our brothers and sisters in the Lord to encourage one another. Mentioned a message here recently about being strong in the grace that's in Christ. Folks, we've got to be good examples before the Lord and before our fellow man. I was thinking about a song in our book, if I could refresh our memories on this one. More like Christ, my heart is praying. More like Christ from day to day, day to day. Lord, it's been a rough day today, but you gave me grace to go through it. It may be a rough day tomorrow. It may be a whole rough week that you've got to deal with things. I don't know what you're going through right now. I know what I'm going through. I know how the enemy is coming along and presenting thoughts and things to my mind and causing me to have to go and put a rebuke upon him. But it says draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. I know what I'm fighting today. But the bottom line is for me that no matter what I have to deal with, no matter what I have to fight, as we heard a while ago, there is no plan B, folks. I'm going through. And I don't want to lose my love for the Lord, because if I lose my love, I lose my desire and I lose my center of affection. He is the center of my affection. He is my priority this morning, is to keep my focus on him and to love God. More like Christ from day to day, all of his graces rich displaying while I tread my pilgrim way. Walking in love while I tread my pilgrim way. More like Christ in deeds of kindness. That's who he was, wasn't it? That's who Christ was when he was on earth. That's who he is today. And in all the words I say, yearning for the souls in blindness who are going far astray. It's just quite possible, folks. You may not think you can, but it's just quite possible you may make a difference in someone's life. Just quite possible that God wants to use you. Lord, help us to be full of his love. And to be in a place where he can single you out and say, I want to use you to reach out to that poor lost soul. Lord, help us to be in that place. More like Christ in burden bearing, helping all the sad and weak, tears and sorrows gladly sharing, others' pleasure would I seek. More like Christ in self-denial. Well, that's almost unheard of today. Denying self. We've got to do it, folks. We've got to love Christ more than this whole world. seeking not a life of ease, patient in the depths of trial, that my Savior I may please. Oh, we want to please Him, don't we? We want to please Him. We want to be more like Him. When life happens to you tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and the days to come, when life happens, be careful you don't get an attitude of defeat and fall into some kind of form of godliness or mediocrity and be saddled, if I can say it that way, with a fallen spirit. You know what I just described? A funk. You ever been in a funk? You ever been down? It seems like I've been underwater before, being pulled by a boat, and it was pulling me under the water instead of on top of the water, and look up, and the light of day was getting darker and darker. The devil wants to get us in a funk. But folks, what do you got to fall back on? We're going to lean on Jesus, yes. But what do you have personally in your heart and in your life but the love of God? Lord, I love you. What did he tell those fellows? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he said, the second one is like unto it. These are the greatest commandments, folks. Jesus said this, love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. God's all about love. Jesus is all about love. Whenever it was his time to go, he loved you and I so much that he laid on that cross and spread those hands out there and let them nail him to that piece of wood for you and me. Oh, what love. Lord, help me to be able in some small way to manifest that kind of love to my neighbor, to my fellow man. We need to have a great love, folks. Jesus said a lot of things, and then he said them for Christ's sake. Why are you living for the Lord today? For your sake? Well, we're doing it for the sake of our souls, but folks, we're living for Christ. He's the focus. He's the one. Of the increase of his government and peace. The scripture says, there shall not be any end to it. Folks, Christ isn't someone that we can just hang up in the closet. Say, I don't need you right now, but when I need you, I'll come and get you. But I need him every hour. I need him every minute of the day. Oh, believe it or not, I've been thinking about this for a little while. I was, one night this past week, woke up 3:00 in the morning and the Lord presented something to me. I don't know if I can present it to you in the way that he presented it to me. Probably sound a little strange and funny to you. But my mind went out to the kitchen. You know, how it is at our house, it always has been, when we were raising family, we wanted a drink of water or a glass of milk. We went out there, we had a cupboard there with glasses in it. Choose the one you wanted. Wasn't the best we had though. But we used them every day. You get a plate out, you have your eat your meals and those kind of things. You got knives and forks and spoons and those kind of things. You got them in this drawer. You use them every day. And for some reason, my mind went to the dining room. And in the dining room, maybe you do, maybe you don't. My wife has this dinette cabinet. It's for the fancy dishes. It's for the special occasions. You know what I'm talking about? Every one of those plates, saucers, cups, even a little pitcher that you put the gravy in to pour over your mashed potatoes at the big meals for the family, everything matches. That's my china cupboard. And not only that, but it's got glass in the doors, and you can see that all the time. But I've thought about that china sits there for days and days and weeks and months, and maybe Thanksgiving comes along and we have a special occasion. Wife takes everything out of that china cabinet and puts it in the dishwasher to clean it before we can even eat out of it. It's got special cutlery. All these things are special. Is that where my priority is? Is Jesus something that I put in here behind a glass and I look at him every day, but I don't need him every day? That's not my priority, folks. I want him to be first. I want him to be the guest at every meal. I want him to be the one that I honor at every meal. Oh, I think about, and then my mind went to the dishes that were put in the temple when Solomon built it. And they were dedicated to the Lord. The knives, the forks, the spoons, and all those, the cups and the saucers, was all dedicated to the work of the Lord. They were not to be used for any other time. We got our china cabinets. I don't know what my wife would say to me if I went in there and just grabbed one of those teacups and went in there and just put me some water in it and started drinking. I don't know what she'd think. I don't know what she'd think if I wanted to heated me up a slice of toast and went in there in the china cupboard and got one of them saucers and put it in there and put the jelly and the butter on it. I don't know what she'd say. But we got that for special occasions. Special, just sits there. Day in and day out. But you can use what's in here in the kitchen. This is the everyday stuff. What's your priority this morning? What's your love centered around? I'm not saying love centered around the chinette, the dishes and those kind of, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that only for special occasions. Every day is a special occasion, isn't it? And we ought to make him feel special. You can make him feel special, folks. You can make him feel unwanted by your very actions. Not only by actions, but he knows what's right down here, doesn't he? He knows what's right here. Now, I want to tell you what. I spent a lot of sleepless nights. But that's the first one that I've spent for about an hour or two. Thinking about the china cupboard. The Lord taught me a little lesson that I won't bring it all out here. But folks, Jesus is special to me. And he's given me a love for him. He's given me a love for the church. A love for his people. A love for my fellow man. I don't want to harbor any hatred. Any evil thoughts, any evil desires. I don't want to harbor any bad attitudes as life begins to happen and open up to me. It happens to all of us. But remember something here. When it does happen to you, it all comes down to the choices that you and I make and what we're going to do with it and how we're going to handle it. Nobody can make you accept anything. You have a choice. You have a free will in those things. I think of this verse of scripture over in the 8th chapter of Romans. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Don't give in to a defeatist attitude, folks. Don't let the devil bring you down where you just feel defeated. And he wants you to throw up your hands and say, what's the use? Oh, I've been there. I know, and some of you have too. What's the use? I tell you what the use is. He doesn't show you eternity, does he? When he does those kind of things, he doesn't show you eternity. But eternity's coming for every one of us. There is a use. You and I are children of God. We're children of God. Walk in love as dear children. And we're children of God. And knowing that we're children of God, what does the scripture say? With Him, all things are possible. There isn't anything that the devil can throw at you that God cannot give you the victory over. Jesus defeated it on Calvary. Thank God for the blood of His dear Son this morning. Thank God for the blood. Remember, life does happen. And how we handle it is going to depend on the choices we make. And it will determine our success in walking with God. It's in our hands, isn't it? It's up to you and it's up to me. But I still want to promote something to you here this morning. The more of the love of God that you have in your heart, the easier it's going to be for you to overcome. The easier it's going to be for you to rebuke the doubts, the fears, the darkness, all the onslaught of the enemy. The more of the love, what you answered the question at the beginning, the most positive, powerful force in the world is love. It isn't hatred, but it's love. You and I need to be aware we need love. Maybe we need a little more love for God. I'd like to look at a scripture, character reference here, in Luke, the 7th chapter. I read this so many times in the last several days. Luke 7. And the 40th verse. Jesus was in Simon's house, a Pharisee. Had been invited there for dinner. And it says in verse 40, Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Which will love him the most? You think the Lord is not watching us every day in our actions and how that we live our life? He can tell how much we love him. He can tell. So Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. I mean, he probably got the biggest relief, didn't he? He owed a lot more than the other fellow, and he was forgiven too. That'd make you feel pretty good, wouldn't it? That'd make you be very appreciative of what was done. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. There was a woman there. You all know the story. See this woman? I entered into thine house and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Folks, that's a no-no. Back in Simon's day, women didn't go around and let their hair down like that in public. But this woman washed his feet, not with water, but her tears. And wiped them with the hairs of her head. The Lord You know, it may have looked like the Lord wasn't paying attention, but the Lord paid attention to it all, didn't he? He saw what was happening. But the woman, this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven thee. What we need more of is an extravagant love. Not be satisfied with just a little. But Lord, I want to love you more. I want to serve you better. I want to understand your ways, and I want your ways manifested throughout my life and how I conduct myself with other people and how I treat other people. My little lesson out of this woman is something I'd like to pass along to you and I this morning. Our lack of love, it's possible that our lack of love can sometimes come from a lack of awareness of our own sins. A lack of awareness of our own sins. And because of that, this can cause a lack of appreciation of what Christ has really done for you and I in giving his blood and shedding, or giving his life and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Sometimes, if we're not aware of what Christ really did, you say, well, my sins were not so great. Sin, period, will keep you out of God's heaven. Only the blood of Jesus will get you inside of God's heaven. And folks, if we feel like, if we forget where we came from, if we forget the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and I, we just might lack the love and the appreciation for what he has truly done for us. And so I think it's healthy. I believe it's healthy for us to take in consideration often where I was and where I am now and how I got there. It wasn't through anything you did. It wasn't anything through anything that I did, folks. The Bible tells us we were all sinners and come short of the glory of God. If we truly would focus on the Calvary and what Christ has done for you and I, maybe we would have a little more appreciation, a little more love for what he has done for you and I. You can die, but you can't die for me. Any sacrifice that you and I make has no effect on our eternal salvation. But there was one, wasn't there? There was one, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the whole world. Folks, let's not lose sight of that. This woman, from what we have learned and what we've read about her, she was probably a prostitute in her day. She was very lowly and she was in trouble and she was regretting her sins. She was sorrowful for her sins. And Jesus saw that. What do you think made her cry? Where do you think the tears came from? Here's the Master. Here's the Savior. Lord, I am so sorry. I don't want to live a life like this. I don't want to do these kind of things. I'm sorry that I've done those kind of things. And Jesus turned around and said, thy sins are forgiven. May the Lord help us today to be like Christ, to have a love for Him. You and I cannot be like the world, folks. We're not going to help anybody if we're like the world. We've got to keep a rein, a check upon our lives, upon our heart love. We've got to keep a rein on those things. And we got to keep a priority and a focus. Keep your focus on things above and not on the things of this earth. Amen.